Welcome or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and our prayer is that today's message helps you connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God. Whatever your next step is with Jesus, we are here to walk with you because we love you, and most importantly, God loves you. We hope to see you in person, on social media, or at purposechurch.com. Now let's open our Bibles and see what God has for us. Hey, Purpose Church family, my name is Eric, and I am one of the pastors here, and I love you, and most importantly, God loves you. Today, we have an amazing guest preacher joining us at Purpose Church for the very first time. Haley Tyler is a gifted and dynamic preacher and ministry leader. She has preached at camps and conferences around the country, helping people connect with Jesus in life-changing ways. Currently, Haley serves as the Connect Pastor at Arbor Road Church in Long Beach, and before that, she was a student ministries pastor for over 10 years. Haley, her husband Tim, and their son Banner love adventuring and being on the water as much as possible. And I have personally known Haley for almost 10 years now, and I have grown so much from her leadership, her preaching, and her friendship in ministry. And I am so confident that we are all going to be so blessed as Haley preaches God's word this morning. So let's put our hands together and give a warm Purpose Church welcome to Haley Tyler.
Such a nice welcome. Purpose Church feels a lot like home to me. I go to a church that's called Arbor Road, like you said, and used to be First Baptist Church of Lakewood. So we did the name change, and it has such a similar feel to this. So it's so good to be with you guys this morning. My friend in the front who just came to visit and came to support me this morning, she sees Eric's picture and goes, "Oh my gosh, I love that guy." Do you guys love him? He's just the best. And I love that, and he said in this video, but I love that he just says, "I love you," and most importantly, what does he say? God loves you. And my hope is that this morning, while I am a guest and it is so fun to be here, that's what you experience, that you would feel love from me, but more importantly, that you would feel love from God as we continue our series in Jeremiah. So would you guys open your Bibles with me? We're just gonna open it up so that we're ready to rock a little bit later. And we are in Jeremiah 29. Who's heard this chapter before? Yes, we've been there. Hey, I'm excited that this morning gets to be a morning where we go a little bit deeper than beyond the verse that we've maybe just heard a few times in our life, but we get to hear more as we journey through Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a crazy book, huh? If you guys have been reading alongside the church as they've been going through it, but if you haven't been here, as I haven't been here, and I've had to study it to prepare, what Jeremiah is Jeremiah is a prophet who hears from God and shares with people. Such an amazing gift, right? And Jeremiah, the book, is basically this like sober evaluation of the Israelites and their past with God and kind of the moments that they've failed and the moment that they've chosen the world over choosing God. But then it's also this evaluation of like, what is the hope for these people? So he gets to be the messenger that shares like the good, the bad, and the ugly of like, if you keep pursuing the world and pursuing these idols, this is what your life's gonna look like. But I love that he gets to be a messenger of God's grace. He gets to tell them, like, this is how good God is, and through physically God's words to these people. And so as we read this morning, we're going to be jumping into this chapter that basically, if you guys haven't read the chapter at full, which again, I would encourage after this that you just would see it as like a whole picture versus just a few verses you might be familiar with, that you would see that this is basically a letter, God writing a letter to the exiles who are from the kingdom of Judah, who were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, they're in Babylon, which is not their home. So they've been taken from one place to another place, and it wasn't their plan. Have you been there? Been in a situation where God's taken you somewhere, and you're like, wait, that wasn't my plan. And he's like, well, it's mine. So this is that letter where he's writing this letter to like the elders, the people, all the ones that are sitting here going like, God, why did you leave me here? So as we prepare to read this chapter, I wanna just encourage, and this has been my prayer. I actually said this to a friend who said, how can I pray? And I was like, honestly, I just pray for radical life change because there's just no way you read this chapter and don't leave changed. Because it is such truth that is for us this morning, but for us for our whole life, that we can take with us back pocket. That's what this whole book is, right? That we get to take it and it would be like transformative for our every single day, which is why we want to read it and why I'm challenged every single day and why I don't. And so as we jump in, I want you guys to consider where you are currently. I think we hop into church and it's like, okay, what message do I have or does everyone else have around me so they can learn and be better? But I think this message is for you. So I want you to really consider what season does God have you in right now? Are you in a season of waiting? Are you in a season of maybe experiencing loss? And with that might come some pain and hardship, turns out. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I actually feel like an exile because as a believer in this world, I am just longing for heaven. God, just come now. Take me out of this place. I don't want to be here anymore. And we feel that. So I'm going to pray that we would invite God into exactly where we are, not where we hope to be or where we were once, but that he would just meet us where we are. And that's always helpful for me before I jump into his word, so that as I read his words and they collide with my life, that I'd then be transformed. So would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you, Lord, even just as this letter comes to these people in the middle of the mess, that Jeremiah gets to be a messenger of grace. God, would you help me be a messenger of your good news and your grace in the middle of wherever you have every single person in this room? God, right now we entrust you with our waiting. We give you the things that feel too heavy for us to even think about tomorrow. And God, would you just exchange any anxiety that we might feel, or to be honest, Lord, that I felt yesterday? Would you exchange that with your peace as we read your word and read your encouragements to these people that I believe are for us this morning? So we love you, Lord. Would you bless this message? In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, it's summer, so some of us have probably been traveling. For my family and I, actually I have a picture of my family. Can we throw that up there? This is my husband, Tim. He's in the front row. This is our dog, Moose. I promise he's happy. He looks like he's gonna maybe hurt someone. And that's me, and that's my son, Banner. He's 15 months. Pray for me, he's kind of getting hard right now, you know. But we've traveled a bit this summer. And when we've traveled, we've hopped on an airplane. And so being on an airplane with a one-year-old, turns out it's a little different with the one they're just asleep the whole time. So I have like 6 bags of just things to keep them busy. But it's been awesome. When I go to the airport, there's this crazy thing I started to realize when I was on an airplane quite a few weeks ago. As I realized how funny it is, how robotic we get when we get to the airport. So you get there and you're like, pull out, you're like, do your thing, go through security, beep, 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 whatever, everything's checked. And then, wait, pause, isn't this funny? Like when you get to the airport, have you ever had the moment where you like have to go make sure your gate is there before you go get your bagel and coffee? Do you guys do that? Just in case it's not there, you're like 46B, you need to find it. So you walk like 7 miles and then you go just to turn around. Does anyone else do that? Is that just me? So this is like my airport rhythm. So I see it, then I go get my bagel and coffee. And then when I don't have my family with me, I hop on the plane, I got my AirPods, see the stewardess, thank you so much. I sit down, I am in the zone, movie time, like uninterrupted. There's some turbulence, but I'm anxious, but it's fine, we're good. And then we land. And I don't even like, you'd think that when you consider what's happening when you fly in an airplane, that you would get to the ground and just like kiss the ground, right? You're like, we made it. Because you're flying in this like, it's not a tin can, but feels like it. You're flying in this thing that just somehow makes it. And there's a pilot that you're like, you got this, and you don't even think about who this guy is. Isn't that hilarious? Like, this person could have graduated flight school like 2 months ago, and they're just like flying your whole family and your precious cargo, and you're like, please make me there. Maybe can we get there? And I think it's so funny that we don't question it. Maybe sometimes you've questioned it in some like decisions they made. But for the most part, you don't. And the reason we don't is because you trust the authoritative position that they've been placed in. They're a pilot. I'm not. Thank God they're here. I would have no idea what to do if I was flying this airplane. But similarly, when we put our faith in Jesus, when we say, God, I surrender my life to you, I hop on the plane of this life that you are going to take me wherever you please. We're saying that because we believe that God is, I mean, when we put our faith in him, we say, you are Lord of my life. You are King. You are better. Your ways are higher. Therefore, take me. But when rubber hits the road, it is really hard to remember he's the pilot. But those seasons that he takes you in that might feel turbulent, that might feel like you're like, they're clouds, you know, that's what I do. Those moments that feel scary, those moments of waiting, of exile, of hardship, God uses all of that. And those are ways where I get to actually know more of who he is because of going through it. And so the main point of this morning, as we kind of like circle back, is it's this. is that God forms his people through seasons of exile, waiting, and hardship. God forms his people through waiting, being patient for the thing you're longing for that you thought would have happened like 3 years ago and now it's like still not happening, waiting, through hardship, through pain, through loss, that sudden loss that doesn't make any sense, and through exile, living in a world where you're going, God, where the heck are you? To form literally means this, means to be made into something, to transform, to bend, and to shape with the intent of being made into something. If you've done pottery before, it turns out it's way harder than it looks, by the way. One time I did it and you couldn't tell what I made, but I made a bowl. But forming is to be made, and I think of God as our like ultimate potter, right? Where he's forming us and transforming us and bending us and shaping us, which turns out you have to be a little flexible. When he's bending and shaping us into exactly what he wants, but spiritual formation. So that's what form means. To be spiritually formed, I asked a friend for a two-sentence definition. She studied spiritual formation for a long time. And she said this: it's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer to form them into Christ-likeness. It's a slow, squiggly journey that is not linear or predictable or even comfortable. Sounds fun, right? I'm going to read that one more time. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of those who have put their faith in Jesus to form them to be more like Christ. And it can be a slow process that's not the way you thought it would be. Romans 8, I'm just going to throw it up here because you guys already flipped to Jeremiah. It says this: and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. This proves what spiritual formation is, to be more like Christ. And what it says is that he works all things for good for those who love God. And good does not mean it works out all the plans that you thought would happen in a perfect line, because that's what good means. That's what good to the world is. But good to God is that these things that we jump through would form us to become more like him. John Mark Comer, this pastor I follow often, says that as believers, we are to know God, to become like him, and to do what he did. And becoming like him happens oftentimes when we are not in the situation that we thought was best for us, but God did. And so let's go to Jeremiah 29. And when I read this, I wanna pull out three encouragements that I see that God is describing to these people in scenarios that you might catch yourself in. Mind you, I don't think we're in exile for maybe 70 years, but it might feel like that. And so these are three encouragements that he encourages them in this waiting time. Because haven't you noticed that God uses our experiences and our circumstances to shape us? Because it's oftentimes in those places when we grow to learn a side of God's heart that we wouldn't have known before if we weren't in it. And so as we wait well, which is how he's gonna encourage us, my hope is as we listen to these encouragements that he might have for the Israelites, but I think he has for us, that we would see that he wants to show a side of his heart and his character to you that maybe you wouldn't have learned before if it wasn't for the current situation that you're in. So let's look at verse 4 in chapter 29. We'll just jump in. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live there. Plant gardens, eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in it, its welfare, you will find your welfare. The first encouragement, if you're taking notes, this is the first encouragement we see as we are choosing and desiring to be formed, is that we are formed when we wait faithfully. Whew. Waiting faithfully is hard. This is what I see based on this passage of all the things he's asking them to do. He's saying, settle in. Get comfortable. You're like, what? You think I'm supposed to be comfortable with like exile, with being in this place I don't want to be? No, he's saying, start families. plant gardens. And when your families have kids, like marry off your kids, and they're like, wait, are we gonna be here that long? What? Could you imagine receiving this? You're like, are you serious? When I think of, wait, faithfully, I think of this. I don't wanna get to the end of a season and realize I missed out on what God was doing in the present. Because how often do we spend time trying to dig ourselves out of something where that whole time God was trying to do something and we just missed it? God is pleading to them, like, don't miss it. Don't miss it. I went to college at a school called Seattle Pacific. Anyone? Go Falcons? Anyone? Yes, okay. Last service, there was like three people. It's like shocking. And all of my friends went to Azusa Pacific. Yes, yeah. Go Cougars. Okay, God first. Okay. So all my friends went there. And I like truly, I love my experience in Seattle. Felt like God very obviously led me there. Had a great experience. But our breaks were different times. Like, so our breaks where we would go to like, you know, Christmas and spring break. So every time I was home, they were still in school. So I kind of got to feel like I like lived the Azusa life, you know, like all the little, you know, things about Cougars. So I like got to experience it. And there was one Christmas break where I thought to myself, it would be really awesome just to transfer here. Like I was like, I've done a good run at Seattle, almost 2 years. And like, I only have one college experience. Like truly it wasn't out of discontentment, but it was out of like, literally, why not? Like a lot of my friends go here. So I like did all the meetings, thought about all the things, like thought about how could I transfer my credits and you know, all the details. And honestly, it was seamless. Like it felt like the most seamless transition. I get back after Christmas break. And when I arrive back, I'm sitting in a life group. And in my life group, I'm sitting across from who then became a girl in my wedding, best friend, pinned on my messages, that kind of friend. And she's always saying something profound and like taking notes. And this thought comes to mind that truly has stuck with me. And I've now shared it multiple times because it was so profound to me. I felt like God said to me in this moment, because no one knew I was thinking about transferring. As he said, if you were there, you wouldn't be here. And that's so true, right? Grass is greener. You're like, I kind of want to be here. My plans. I want to be over there. But God's saying like, my plans. If you were there, you wouldn't be right here, and there might be some reason why I have you here, because when we are waiting faithfully, we are remembering that our mission hasn't paused because we're in exile. Our mission as believers to like know God, make him known, become like him, has not stopped when you're in a season that you don't want to be in. It actually continued. And like I said, God is forming us as we wait faithfully. And so what does it look like for us to be present? My favorite part about this is a really small piece. It's in verse 5. Actually, where is it? I'm trying to see where it is. Where's the guard? Oh, right here. Verse 5. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens. That was really profound to me. One, because I don't have enough patience for gardening, and gardening just takes a lot of time. And I just like, I love the result, but like the process kind of stinks. And just being honest. But plant gardens. Haven't you noticed that seasons of exile are seasons that feel like valleys, where you like are not in a great spot, where you feel like it's desolate, it's dry, it's kind of the last place you could imagine growth. God is saying, plant gardens. And it was so profound to me because I think about how hard that is. But if God is using us in all seasons, there is purpose in every place he has us. Gardens would bring life in what feels dead. And that garden would cause people to ask, where is that life coming from? This encouragement to wait faithfully is so profound to me because I feel like we miss it. I miss it all the time, longing for the next thing. And forgetting that like, what if I used what God had for me here and brought life to the point where people asked about it, and then I continued my mission of making God known, even if it's a season I didn't want to be in? Where is that life coming from? That's what I want people to ask me. And as believers, you might be feeling like this world stinks. This world is horrible. God, come back. In 2 Peter, there's this passage that says this. or 1 Peter says this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which waged war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and they would glorify God on the day of visitation, that they would see the good deeds that we are doing as we are faithful here and give glory to God," because that's why we're here. So wait faithfully, and that's where we're formed. Let's keep going. Verse 10, the nitty gritty. "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." Can you imagine getting that? Hey, I'm gonna bring you back, but like just wait 70 years. That's like the longest amount of time. Keep going. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." Raise your hand if you have received that text message or sent it to someone before. The token passage. It's token for a reason, because the truth in this is pretty mind-blowing if you set your heart to believe it. If you press in moments where you're like, that doesn't feel true, this is life-changing. It says this, besides the 70 years thing, that's hard. "For I know the plans I have for you." The encouragement here that I'm sensing is that God is saying, wait dependently on me, the one who knows all the plans. If you're depending on something, depend on me. God of the universe, who turns out, if he's God of the universe, turns out he's really big, which this is so like VBS of me, and this is helpful. When I think of a big God, I think of him having really big hands, which means he can hold everything that you're holding. That's the God who knows the plans. And the thing about this big God is that he's also intimate, which doesn't mean he's also small. It means he's also personal. So not only can he hold it all and he made it all, he knows you. And the moment where you say, can't wait dependently because you haven't proven yourself, God, he wants to talk to you about that. He wants to know the why. He wants you to bring your heart to him and share that. He's intimate. The God who knows the plans is also all powerful. You've seen that in Jeremiah. He's powerful. And we also see that in Isaiah, when they're predicting the coming of his son Jesus, they declare him as the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace beyond understanding. And he's all-knowing. He knows every single thing. This is the God that he is encouraging them to wait dependently on. John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." I have a really hard time believing that, if I'm being honest. But here's what I've realized. If you don't feel that, it doesn't mean don't question it. Because God wants our questions. He's not just saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, so be a robot and just go, yes, master." He's going like, "I wanna know, I'm intimate with you, so I wanna know your heart. And if you're having struggles, like troubles believing it, like I wanna talk to you about it." And when we wait dependently, and he's the only one, when we are so desperate, you've been there, when you are so desperate and you've tried leaning on other things and none of them work, and you lean on Christ, you learn a side of his heart where you're like, "How did it take me so long? How did it take me so long to lean on you, Lord, and to realize you are the only one worth abiding in, because apart from you, I can do nothing?" Because it's in those places when you're so desperate that you find Jesus. And when you want Jesus, you look for him. So let's get to our next passage. It says this in 13 or 12. It says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Verse 14, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to this place from which I set you into exile." So not only is he saying that you are formed when you wait faithfully, when you wait dependently on him, but what I get in this is that he's inviting us to wait confidently. To wait confidently, he says this, When you seek me, or when you call upon me and pray to me, I will hear you. Promise number one, I'm gonna hear you. When you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart. Verse 14, I will be found by you. He said it three times, so he's going like, seek after me. So what is our confidence in according to this? Our confidence is in the promised presence of God in the middle of the thing that you're in. How easy is it to get to the end and then reflect and be like, God, you were there all along. I do that a lot. I'm like, he was so powerful. But in the moment, I'm like, where are you? I'm truly, right now, I'm learning what it looks like to have confidence in his promised presence, like in it. And it's great to look back and reflect and be like, oh, you were there all along. And I think that's a really important practice. But what if we were people that actually were like, you're here, I'm struggling to see you, but I know if I seek you, I'll find you. God, help me. Would my confidence be in your promised presence? Because remember, this letter is coming to them in the middle of exile. His presence is being made known. So he's saying, call me, beat me, like I'm here. But he's literally doing it and coming into their mess and saying like, I'm right here. As a mom, I'm learning a lot, first timer. But at 15 months, we're at this beginning of the like, I'm seeing a little fear. It's like so sad. It's like, oh my gosh, you're like a human. You're scared of things. And my son is also very like brave, which is horrifying. So he's like running into the water and like this, you know, I'm like, please stop. And he's just confident. But there's moments where I'm like inviting him, maybe even a parent, inviting him to like be confident. And this is what I say, maybe you've been similarly. Whenever I'm like inviting him to be confident, like you can jump off the thing or you can walk out to me in the water. And I go, mama's right here. I just go, mama's right here. Mama's right here. I'm like saying all the different voices. And it didn't click to me till literally yesterday. We were at the water, like at the beach. And I was like, he can go farther. I know he's gone farther. But my tactic of giving him confidence was to let him know I'm there. And I think that that's what God's doing here. He's like, you can wait confidently in me, not confidently on the timeline that you're wishing I just told you, not confidently on me just laying out the practicals of how you're gonna get through this exile. He's going, no, would your confidence be in me? There's this pastor that said this quote, says this, when we experience suffering, waiting, you know, anything we might be thinking about, and find God and his presence in it, we often experience the deepest communion with him and his love that we've ever known. When we go through suffering, it oftentimes feels like God's absence, but scripture says we will endure suffering of many kinds, but that doesn't mean that you're not walking with me if you go through it. So what is your thing? What is the season for you? I'll share mine in a minute, but I want to encourage you. What is the encouragement that you sense that God might have for you as you wait? Is he inviting you to experience formation as you wait faithfully? Is he inviting you to experience this deep forming of your soul as you wait dependently on the one that apart from him we can do nothing? Maybe is he inviting you to wait confidently for maybe the first time in your journey to realize he's present with you in it, not just afterwards when you pray to him and remember it. For part of my journey is that picture. We can bring that back up because he's so cute. Yeah, that's my son. That's Banner. So we adopted him actually when he was born, when April 2025. And God has been challenging me with this this challenge of formation for about 3.5 years now. Because 3.5 years, we began starting to grow our family in that process. Year goes by, 2 years goes by, all the things go by, and it was hard. After a year, we do all the tests, and they say, you're fine, unexplained. You're like, praise God, but also what? I questioned God, big questioner. All about going to him. If he says I can go to him, I'm going to him. And I'm going, God, what are you doing? What are you possibly doing? And there was one morning I woke up and I was like weeping. And my husband was like, what happened? Are you okay? And I was like, I feel like God is so clearly not slamming the door to a family. He's just like screaming at us, like adopt. Like he's just screaming at us. And it was like one of the most like profound moments in my life, in my waiting, where I experienced God's voice. And he just said, this is what I have for you. And it felt like I was taking him at his word to be faithful, to keep living life, because when I have a kid, everything's gonna change, you know, all those things. And so I'm waiting faithfully. And then we get called to adoption. We adopt our son. Turns out that waiting, that longing is still there. I love my family. Banner has like been this miracle that God has used to remind me that he's doing things for my good and he's forming me in ways I never would have expected. I have an appreciation for him that I would never trade, you know, because I'm just aware of the process and he's the biggest gift in our life. But that waiting didn't go away. Until April this past year, we got pregnant. And it felt like for the first time, I was like, this is the answer. Like we went back and we were like, God, this is what you were doing, which is true. This is exactly what he was doing. And then a month later, we lost the baby. And I remember when I found out we were pregnant, I'd just been asked to speak on this passage. And I thought to myself, oh, this is gonna be so cool to preach from a place of arriving, you know? To be like, I've done the wait, be faithful, like all the things. You know, when I got back into this place, and we're so grateful we got to carry that baby for as long as we did. But when we got back to this place, it felt like, it felt too familiar, this waiting, this exile. But God has been encouraging me in what it looks like to wait dependently. That's what my encouragement is from this. Like, God, Haley, what does it look like to lean on me? Because apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm big, I'm intimate, I deeply care about you. And when you look at Banner, you can see proof of my track record, that I have a track record in making things happen that are so much better than we could have ever imagined. So because of the circumstance, I'm able to go into this waiting a lot differently than I did before. And I'm so thankful for that. God has formed me to be like, you are a trustworthy God. You were waiting for this boy because he needed a family. You were waiting for, and that was so intentional by you, God. And I'm so thankful for that. And so I wanna pray over you guys and whatever that exile or that feeling might be that you guys are experiencing. And maybe for some of you, you're not experiencing that. You're like, life is so good. Well, there's friends next to you. They're likely in a hard time. And they need your encouragement to know that God is a faithful God, that he's dependable and that he's worth placing our trust in because we can have confidence in his presence. So I wanna pray for you guys because I'm like you. I experience this a lot too. And so I hope that you would experience encouragement from God's words to the Israelites that we are formed in waiting. We are formed in exile. And that is a good thing. So would you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you for the trial. Thank you that it's in those places that we get to experience you, Lord, and I pray that we would choose to experience you, that the trial wouldn't lead anyone away from you, that it would lean us to run toward you because you're all we need in that moment, Lord. And even for those in this room that have tried depending on other things, Jesus, we ask that you would make your face known to them today, that this would be not a conviction, but just this invitation, that Lord, your presence is so real and your presence can bring us confidence in knowing, God, you do know the plans because you are an all-powerful God who loves us, who cares deeply for us, and who wants what's best for us, God. And what's best for us might be different than what we thought, but God, your ways are perfect, your plans are perfect, and we give you glory for that, Jesus. So people see our life and ask us, where does that life come from? Because we've been faithful in the journey you have us. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.